All right. I don't even want to know how tough your week was because it doesn't matter now. It's behind us.
It's over,
people. Friday, 5 p.m. Let your hair down. Relax a little bit. Let's listen to some music and have some fun. Time for American Hit Radio on 90.3 WHBC. I'm Tom Ryan, your host for the next hour. With me, of course, my lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan. Been doing this with me for decades now. And who would have thought that we'd still be doing a series on the Great American Songbook after all this time? But we're maybe just about a little bit more than halfway through what I intended to cover. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we got up to about 30 shows to finish the series, because this is part 17 that we're about to start today. And we're up to the year 1937, starting in 1919. So this is like maybe, might be considered the year that jazz became sophisticated enough to define popular culture. That's what the popular music in this era was, jazz, thus inspiring the big band era. Of course, this coincided with a big increase in record sales, too, and the record business, as the public not only listened to the radio, but also bought 78 RPM singles for their enjoyment on demand whenever they wanted to hear them. This was a bit of a new concept. These are some of the popular tunes that we're going to be playing today, written by the best writers in the country at the time. The show starts with us featuring performers that are contemporary, which is to say performers of the time when the song was written, which is to say in the mid to late 30s, around 1937. But as we move on, the show will include a significant number of recordings made years after the songs were written. But hey, that's why they call it the Great American Songbook, isn't it? I mean, these are songs that may never die. So we also have our special star for today's show is certainly going to be Jerome Kern, because he is the featured songwriter for a good number of these tunes. There's a lot of the classic writers, though, that are still with us. I keep bringing up my amazement about how Irving Berlin keeps on coming up with great material, considering that he was the very first song that we played when we started the series in 1919. More or less would have presumed that he had gotten it, you know, all out of his system in maybe 10 years, and that would have been about it for his representation. But here we are in 1937, and he's still going strong, still writing awesome big songs, including this one that he had written for a film called Follow the Fleet. And it's another one of those movies featuring Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers. And the first thing that is going to occur to Irving Berlin, if he knows that he's going to be writing for those two, is that he ought to write a good dance number, and maybe even a song that's about dancing. This happens to be called Let's Face the Music and Dance. And to perform it, we've got none other than Fred Astaire himself.
There may be trouble ahead, but while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance. Before the fiddlers have fled, before they ask us to pay the bills, and while we still have the chance, let's face the music and dance. Soon we'll be without the moon, humming a different tune, and then there may be teardrops to shed. So while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance, dance, let's face the music and dance.
right. Of course, Let's Face the Music and Dance, an Irving Berlin song that just proves just how much he's got going on. Hanging on there, basically writing popular jazz songs that held onto his relevance. I mean, for a good, solid 20 years. Rather incredible. It's been a while since we introduced new songwriters to the songbook. The past few shows just had like a lot of the same classic writers over and over again. But this next song has a pair of writers that are new to us. This is the first time they're appearing in this series. The lyricist is Johnny Burke, California songwriter, lyricist. The song that you might know best by him is Swingin' on a Star, made famous about 8 years in the future from this point in time, because we're covering 1937. He was actually writing at the time out of the office of Irving Berlin. And he was eventually paired with Arthur Johnston, who was Irving Berlin's personal arranger. So it's kind of cool if you think about it. Here's Irving Berlin, this incredibly famous songwriter. He's got an office. He's bringing in other writers, you know, into his office, and they team up and they make a pair. It's almost funny, though, in a somewhat predictable way, that I keep bringing up and talking about how the Great American Songbook is almost always written by pairs of men, two men who mm-hmm. come together to write the song. That's been true for, I would say, better than 90% of the songs that we've covered so far, two men. And yet Irving Berlin is, with Cole Porter, are the only two that we've covered up till now. And that's 17 one-hour shows, which is to say about 200 songs that we've played almost at this point in time. The only songs that were written by one person were those that were written by either Irving Berlin or Cole Porter, because they were able to write the music and the lyrics. But here's Irving Berlin being an inspiration to bring together the team of Arthur Johnston and Johnny Burke. The song that they wrote, again, well, this time was introduced by Bing Crosby for a film that took the name of the song for the title of the film. It's called Pennies from Heaven.
A long time ago, a million years BC, the best things in life were absolutely free. But no one appreciated the sky that was always blue, and no one congratulated a moon that was always new. So it was planned that they would vanish now and then, and you must pay before you get them back again. That's what storms were made for, and you shouldn't be afraid, for every time it rains, it rains pennies from heaven. Don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven? You'll find your fortune fallen all over town. Be sure that your umbrella is upside down. Trade them for a package of sunshine and flowers. If you want the things you love, you must have showers. So when you hear it thunder, don't run under a tree. There'll be pennies from heaven for you and me. Mmm, shower. So when you hear it thunder, don't run under a tree. There'll be pennies from heaven for you and me.
Of course, that was Bing Crosby. As I said, we're playing, starting with the contemporary versions of the songs. The music there, composed by Arthur Johnston, first time that he's appeared in our series. And also the first time for the lyricist, Johnny Burke. Johnny Burke would go on. He worked in Hollywood, and this is just a start of what is very representative of his career. He worked on just about 40 films in Hollywood. 25 of them starred Bing Crosby. So he was like Bing Crosby's like lyricist, in a sense, for that. Now, this next track, I mentioned that Jerome Kern was going to be the big star of the show. Well, here he is. He's the songwriter for this next song. He wrote the music. The lyrics were written by Dorothy Fields, still the only woman.
That's amazing.
In this entire series. At least she comes up redundantly, repetitively. It's good to hear her because she's obviously a wonderful lyricist. And again, it's a song that was written for Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers. Another way for them to basically, it was supposedly taking place where Ginger Rogers was running a dancing school and Fred Astaire saw her and was so entranced that he went in to get dance lessons, telling her that he had two left feet. And then they sang this song to each other. The version that I've got to play, though, is by a contemporary artist. Actually, it's Mrs. Elvis Costello, her
Diane
professional name is Diana Krall. The song is called Pick Yourself Up.
Nothing's impossible, I have found. For when my chin is on the ground, I pick myself up, dust myself off, start all over again. Don't lose your confidence if you slip. Be grateful for a pleasant trip and pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start all over again. Work like a soul inspired till the battle of the day is won. You may be sick and tired, but you'll be a man, my son. Don't you remember the famous men who had to fall to rise again? They picked themselves up, dust themselves off, and start it all over again.
One and Diana Krall performing Pick Yourself Up. And the rest, Dust Yourself Off, etc., etc. Jerome Kern and Dorothy Fields' composition. I mentioned that Jerome Kern would be the star of the show. Well, Dorothy Fields deserves some credit here as well because they're responsible for this next song as well. It's also from the exact same movie, Swing Time, which means it's yet another song that was meant to feature Fred Astaire, which is kind of nuts at this point in time because out of the four songs that I've played, three of them were written for Fred Astaire. That's just how popular he was at this point in time. Rather incredible. This was the love song, and Dorothy Fields, when she first heard Jerome Kern play this melody for her, said that she just broke out in tears. She found it to be one of the most moving things that she had ever heard. And she goes, the release, you know, where the chord rolls around and pushes to the chorus, she goes, it absolutely killed me. I couldn't stop crying. It was so beautiful. So she put it to words, and it's a song that has been recorded numerous times by a tremendous number of famous artists. Great versions by Sonny Rollins and Thelonious Monk. There's vocal versions by Frank Sinatra. There's a really awesome version by Billie Holiday as well. Again, though, moving forward to contemporary times, there's an album that came out entitled As Time Goes By, where Brian Ferry dug in deep into the Great American Songbook, and I chose his version of The Way You Look Tonight.
Just the way you look tonight. With each word your tenderness grows, tearing my fear apart. And that laugh that wrinkles your nose touches my foolish heart. Oh, lovely, never, never change. Keep that breathless charm. I love you just the way you look. Never change. Keep that breathless charm. love you just the way you look today.
There's a change of pace. Brian Ferry, the lead vocalist from one of our favorite bands, Roxy Music. We just featured them a few weeks ago on our Wednesday program. Their second album, actually, For Your Pleasure, just went by. So funny to hear the difference between, say, an album like that and Brian Ferry's solo career. There's quite an expanse of music and talent there.
Yeah.
I would say. All right. Guess who this next song was written for?
Fred Astaire?
Absolutely. This is 4 out of the 5 songs that start this series, all of them written for Fred Astaire to use it in a movie. This time the film was called A Damsel in Distress. But the songwriters this time are George and Ira Gershwin. It's just amazing how so many of the best songwriters in the world, everybody was like gunning for Fred Astaire, the movie star of the time, more so even than Bing Crosby.
He was
rather
hot.
Incredibly. He was absolutely hot. The song, there's excellent versions of it, not only by Fred Astaire, of course, but it was subsequently recorded by Frank Sinatra, Ella Fitzgerald. I have an interesting version on a somewhat contemporary album by Van Morrison. The album was called Versatile, and the song, written by George and Ira Gershwin, is called A Foggy Day.
A foggy day down in London town got me low, laid me down. I view the morning with too much alarm. Trafalgar Square, Jingle lives on this town. How long I wonder, could this thing last? But the age of miracles had not passed. Well, it's all under your soul. She's standing there in that foggy London town. The sun kept shining everywhere. Square. Oh,
foggy day.
You know, it's funny, as I get older, Heidi, I notice that it's harder and harder for me to keep track of time. I think just earlier in the week when we were talking on Wednesday, I'd mentioned something about, when I wrote my book 30 years ago, and you're like, well, it was longer than that. Mm-hmm. I might have even said 20 years ago.
Yes.
I have to count decades on my fingers sometimes in order to remember where we're at. For example, like I'm thinking Van Morrison. I'm like, wow, he's been around for while was that, like 40 years now? I was like, no, from 1965 to now is about, here's a man that's been famous for about 60 years at least, and then some, probably.
Oh, yeah, that's easily insane.
that's outrageous. All right, gonna do it again with yet another contemporary artist doing a one of these older tunes. I've mentioned that Jerome Kern was the star of the show. Well, that's because he's back again. But this time with a different lyricist. For this track, his lyricist, instead of Dorothy Fields, it's Oscar Hammerstein II. This is a song that was not written for Fred Astaire, but it was for a film called High, Wide, and Handsome, introduced by Irene Dunne in the film, made famous as a single with a version by Bing Crosby. The version of the song that we will be playing, though, right now, did I mention the title? It's called The Folks Who Live on the Hill. And the version I've got is off of an album called Old Sock, which was released by Eric Clapton a number of years ago.
Someday we'll build a home on a hilltop high, you and I, shiny and new, a cottage that two can fill. And we'll be pleased to be called the folks who live on the hill. We will make changes as any family will, but we will always be called the folks who live on the hill. Of you that seems to want to be seen, and when the kids grow up and leave us, we'll sit and look at that same old view, just we two, Darby and Joan, used to be Jack and Jill. The folks who like to be called what they have always been called, the folks who live on the hill, the folks who live on the hill, the folks who live on the hill. Folks who live on the hill. Ooh.
very nice version by Eric Clapton of a song written by Jerome Kern, our star of the day. Although in a sideways sense, it actually is Fred Astaire who's the star of the day, but written with Oscar Hammerstein II on lyrics. All right. Rodgers and Hart, as somebody, I don't remember if we played them for the past couple of weeks, but they return here. This must be their fifth or sixth appearance in our Great American Songbook series. And they wrote this song for a musical comedy called I'd Rather Be Right. The song is called Have You Met Miss Jones? Miss Jones is one of the characters in that movie. But for the version that I've chosen, I've actually chosen an instrumental version because one of the most important things about the Great American Songbook is the way that it provided material for jazz performers. Art Tatum is probably one of the most insanely talented piano players of all time. He's almost frightening to listen to. So hearing what he does here and how he takes off is probably enough to scare people out of the room sometimes, even especially if you're a piano player, because the guy is like almost out of his mind with the things that he's, you know, willing to try to do. Check it out. You'll see what I mean. Art Tatum's version of Have You Met Miss Jones?
Thank you.
romantic, but Art Tatum, just too much, man. It's just amazing.
That's beautiful.
That is from an album that was released, oh, I don't know, maybe, well, I guess I should, I got to count decades on my fingers again. But it was called The Best of Art Tatum. That was my introduction when I was shopping for CDs. I'm like, oh, you know something? I heard a few things by him that I really loved, and it lived up to my expectations. Okay. This next song is a song that you probably hear every single time you watch the Academy Awards. You get to hear it about once a year. It had lyrics by Johnny Mercer, which for the most part are not used very much anymore because everybody remembers the melody of Hooray for Hollywood, which was written by Richard A. Whiting, a regular in this Great American Songbook series. This song appeared in a movie from 1937 called Hollywood Hotel, and the version I've got here is by Doris Day. and like I said, her version of Hooray for Hollywood.
Hooray for Hollywood, that screwy valley. Office boy or young mechanic can be a panic with just a good looking pan. And any barmaid can be a star maid if she dances with or without a fan. Hooray for where you're terrific if you're even good, where anyone at all from TV's Lassie to Monroe's Chassie is equally understood. Go out and try your luck, you might be Donald Duck. Hooray for Hollywood. Hooray for Hollywood, that phony super coney Hollywood. They come from Chillicothe and Paducah's with their bazookas to get their names up in lights, all armed with photos from local rodos with their hair in ribbons and legs in tights. Hooray for Hollywood. You may be homely in your neighborhood, but if you think that you can be an actor, see Mr. Factor. He'd make a monkey look good. Within a half an hour, you'll look like Tyrone Power. Hooray for Hollywood.
Doris Day getting the job done for us there. Hooray for Hollywood. It is cute. I mean, it's nice to hear the words because, like I said, you often don't. It would be really easy to commit a faux pas on this next song because the title is In the Still of the Night. And if you grew up in the doo-wop era or something, the first thing you're going to think of is the Five Satins. And then you're going to say, oh, well, that, you know, it's a Great American Songbook song. Oh, wow. So that song was written by Cole Porter? No, that song was written by Fred Parris. That's a totally different song. The song that makes the Great American Songbook, written by Cole Porter, is a very different In the Still of the Night, written for an MGM movie called Rosalie, made famous at that time by Nelson Eddy, and recorded numerous times by a bunch of parties. But to make sure that I don't screw it up and maybe play the wrong version, I figured I'd make sure to pick somebody who was very unlikely to be playing the Five Satins version of the song. And that was, again, a jazz instrumentalist, this time Charlie Parker, with his version of In the Still of the Night.
Thank you. still of the night. As I gaze from my window at the moon in its light, my thoughts all stray.
That's a real fun one for me to play because, you know, Charlie Parker is such a hot saxophone player. It's just, it's unbelievable. But when it starts with that choral group, you might be thinking, oh, this is
lost a little bit there for a moment.
Right. It's like, oh, this is not going to be that cool. And then, you know, basically once you get through it and Charlie Parker takes over, it's just incredible. It's very, very rare for you to hear a choral group on a Charlie Parker recording. I can't think of another one, actually, that has that. But there it is, his version of In the Still of the Night. Well, we're going to continue. Haven't heard from Billie Holiday in a while, so I'm going to let her sing one for us. And it's Irving Berlin again. Heidi, can you believe that this guy is like this?
He's on a roll.
Oh, my God. He's never wasn't. From 1919 until 1937, he remained one of the best American song artists. I would say that for that reason alone, he has to qualify in the top 10 American songwriters of all time. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you might think of him as being old school because a lot of people associate him with the older songs that he had written, the ones that we were covering in around volume, you know, show number one. But here, he's writing fantastic songs. This is another song written for a film called On the Avenue. Again, him showing his ability to basically write contemporary jazz that is just incredibly commercial. Dick Powell and Alice Faye sang it in the film called On the Avenue. But as I mentioned, we're going to let Billie Holiday sing her version of I've Got My Love to Keep Me Warm by Irving Berlin.
The snow is snowing, the wind is blowing, but I can weather the storm. December. Just watch those icicles fall. What do I care if icicles fall? I've got my love to keep me warm. Off with my overcoat, off with my gloves. I'm burning with love. My heart's on fire. The flame grows higher. So I will weather the storm. What do I care how much it may storm? I've got my love to keep me warm.
By our band with I've Got My Love to Keep Me Warm, her version of the incredible Irving Berlin, still kicking them out like this. Rather amazing. Okay, next up, and Rodgers and Hart are back, this time with their own musical. They had written a musical called Babes in Arms. That is where this song was originally made its debut. What's amazing about it is that the lyrics are fantastic. The song is Lady is a Tramp. I'm sure you know it. And it's got amazingly great lyrics. But in the musical Babes in Arms, the song appeared as an instrumental, which I find kind of stunning. It went on to become a big hit for people like Sophie Tucker and Lena Horne. It was all basically a bit of a mockery on high society and how snooty etiquettes were beginning to determine how people would socialize. And those who didn't follow that etiquette would be considered to be beneath the upper class. That's, you know, they'd be tramp-like. And it ends up having a tremendous, it was a tremendous amount of fun. I mean, Frank Sinatra sang the song in the movie Pal Joey. It was pretty awesome. The version that I've got here, though, is one of the versions that I grew up with and I don't hear very much of these days. Sammy Davis Jr. did a pretty fun version. So here he is performing Rodgers and Hart's tune, Lady is a Tramp.
I've the wined and the dined on the mulligan stew. Never wished for turkey as I hitched and the hiked and the drifted too. From Maine to Albuquerque, alas, I missed the Bozarts ball. What is twice as sad, I was never at a party where they honored Noel Cad. But her social circles spin too fast for me. Her whole Bohemia is the place I want to be. She gets too hungry for dinner at 8. She loves the theater, but never comes late. She'll never bother with someone she hates. That's why the lady is a tramp. She goes to
Coney. The beach is divine. She digs the ball games and the bleachers are fine. She reads Kilgallen, and I mean every line. That's why the lady is a tramp. I like the green grass under my shoes. So what can I lose? I'm flat, that's that. And for Ray Charles, she whistles and stamps. That's why the lady is a tramp.
Sammy Davis Jr.
Did he switch up the lyrics a little bit from the way Frank Sinatra sings it?
I think that he's more close to the original.
Yeah, I liked it.
It's very cool. It's great to hear it again. It's been a long time since I heard Sammy Davis Jr.'s version of that. We've got time for one more, and it's another song from the exact same show, Babes in Arms, which is to say it's another song written by Richard Rodgers and Lawrence Hart. You might not know this, but I did mention it. Eventually, Lawrence Hart drops away from being Richard Rodgers' partner. He started to develop some sort of problems, like issues, you know, mental issues. And one of them was that he was very insecure. He believed that he was like too short and ugly for anybody to love him. So when he actually wrote this song, he was thinking of himself when he wrote the line, you know, your looks are laughable, unphotographable. He thought that, you know, he was really saying basically how he saw himself in the mirror. And it went on to become a song that has appeared on over almost 1,500 albums to date. More than 600 artists have covered it. And since we started the show earlier with Mrs. Elvis Costello performing, I thought it'd be kind of cool if we let the other half of the couple end the show. So give both of them an opportunity of the couple to perform a song. So here performing Richard and Rodgers and Lawrence's Hart's song from Babes in Arms entitled My Funny Valentine is none other than Elvis Costello. Take care, everybody. We'll see you next Friday. I hope. Have a great weekend.
Bye-bye.
My funny Valentine, sweet comic Valentine,
You make me smile with my heart. You look so laughable, unphotographable, but you're my favorite work of art. Is your figure less than Greek? Is your mouth a little weak? When you open it to speak, are you smart? Don't change your hair for me, not if you care for me. Stay.